Thank you so much for downloading this audio file on my therapy, Humble Warrior Therapy. My name is Rachel Gordon, and I just wanted to really welcome you to an amazingly loving, warm, authentic community of people who are just striving to be their best selves and live their best lives. So what I think I would like to talk about in this recording is what I love most about Buddhist psychology and what kind of led me to the place I'm in now and to this work. For me personally, going to therapists, going to Western clinical therapists, I had the best therapist ever, but the approach of Western therapy would almost perpetuate my suffering. I would find that I would go in and I would talk about some problem, some issue, whatever, the thoughts in my head, the feelings in my body, and Western therapy would kind of almost like entertain all of those neuroses and enable it and perpetuate it. And we would get into it and identify with it and attach to it. And when I found Buddhist psychology after years already of doing yoga, it felt like I could breathe. It's an approach that first and foremost says that you are not your mind. You are not your thoughts. You're not the stories or the voice in your head. And you're not even your body, which is more, to me, more relevant when it comes to doing, you know, private yoga teaching. But in terms of the talk therapy in Buddhist psychology, it felt like such a relief to no longer identify with the asshole who lives in my head. And it created space for me that I don't think I had ever felt before that in my life. And then from that point on, it was just all these amazing principles of surrender and acceptance and letting it be okay to not be okay and learning how to no longer view emotions on this like dichotomous spectrum from happy is good to sad is bad, but rather seeing that feelings are just this mixed bucket and they're all wise and they're all intelligent indicators that serve a purpose. Buddhists say that feelings are like visitors. They come and they go. And it's our job to be hospitable hosts, to roll out the welcome mat, Jon Kabat-Zinn says. So that to me was a real radical shift, and I've seen it over and over and over with clients, how their lives have been made better by these principles and these ideas and just the general concept that in any moment you can access joy. That's another huge part of it all. In knowing that you are not your mind, that you are not the asshole who lives in your head, and that you're not your body, then the question becomes, and Buddhists and the philosophy of yoga also asks this, the question becomes, then who are you? What is the only constant? If your mind, both as consciousness and physiologically as a brain, if your mind is changing literally every day, and so is your body from the second you're born to the second you die, then who are you? What is the constant that you can say is you? And the perception there is one of love, of light, of bliss, of joy. It's the place within you that you can access when you do yoga, or when you're completely immersed in some activity that you love, or when you're hiking in nature. It's a quiet. It's truly what the Buddha called pure radiant awareness. And so when we realize that we are not the total dick, I'm just going to use that word. It's harsh, but it captures it for me. When you realize that you're not the dick in your head, then you are free to experience the joy that you are. And then you learn how to cultivate a different relationship with your thoughts, with the stories in your mind, and with your feelings. You're no longer identified with them. You're no longer judging yourself for them. But you see them as weather in your sky, which Pema Chodron talks about a lot. And from that perspective, we're able to relate to our thoughts and our feelings with a real sense of love, of compassion, and of grace. So the work that I do in my practice is work that focuses on teaching people who they really are. Not teaching them, that might not be the right word, but helping people remember who they really are, helping people shed all of the layers, the scars, the shells, the armor, the facade, all the stuff that we literally and figuratively kind of build up around ourselves to shield and protect ourselves from the world and to fit in and to feel that we are worthy of belonging and that we're enough and that we're okay. It's a process of dismantling all of that, all of the shoulds and the judgment and unbecoming, peeling it all away to reveal who you really are, to reveal the place inside you that is pure radiant awareness, that is light, that is love, that is bliss. So I would be honored, I'm so humbled, no pun intended, I am humbled by the work that I do, and I would be honored to help you discover that you were born perfect. In my previous life, so prior to doing therapy, I spent a decade and trained both in undergrad and grad school to work in international development. And as part of that career, I lived abroad. I spent a few and a half years living in the Middle East. I spent a few months living in a village in Kenya. I traveled to over 35 countries, mainly in Africa and Asia, and I also did a rotation on a kind of weird side stint at NATO headquarters in Brussels and lived there. So I've lived on four continents. I have always, always loved travel and anthropology and just seeing all the myriad of ways to do life. I think probably in an attempt to find the one that felt best for me, if I'm really honest. So as part of my work in international development, I ended up at a startup. It was actually a social business that, similar to a Peace Corps model, sent students, college kids, to rural villages in different countries throughout Africa to spend a summer, a few months, living in the community and then working with the community through a lens of human-centered design to create sustainable social businesses. That was a lot of buzzwords. So as part of my work at that company, I flew out to a village called Kayafungo, a rural village that is totally off the grid in Kenya, about 50 kilometers southwest of Mombasa. And I spent 3 months living with a local family in this village that has no electricity, no running water, no roads even to access it. It's dirt roads. And really just trying to completely immerse myself in life there and help the community create sustainable social businesses that would improve health and economic outcomes. So I lived with a woman named Teresia Mavella. If she is listening, because she does have a cell phone access there, if she's listening, then Mama T, I love you more than anything and miss you more than anything. This woman became literally a second mom to me. And she lived as a single mom because her husband was working and living in Mombasa, working on the docks. So she lived on, it's called a shamba, which is a homestead. It's a kind of little collection of these thatch-roofed mud houses that multiple generations of one family live on. And the field around all these homes is the land that they farm. So there's maize, there's corn growing everywhere, and there's all these plants that we would pick from the ground for dinner, and we would walk an hour literally to get to the dam and grab water with the jerry can and very kind of stereotypically literally put it on our heads and walk back, which I never figured out how to do. And I went into this community that has crazy high maternal mortality rates and starvation, droughts, just malaria. I mean, a really kind of harsh life, at least through a lens of certain indicators. So I went in there fully expecting, I think, to see a really kind of sad, painful place, knowing what I knew about the quality of life. And What really surprised me was that within a day of being there, I realized that this was actually the most joyful place I had ever seen in my life. In all my travels, in all the places I've lived, this village where there is community and faith, and there is a connection to the earth and to the land and to each other, it is the absolute most beautiful place, most happy, the happiest place I've seen. And at this point, I was leaning towards global health and had not thought about psychology for a while. It was absolutely what I had always wanted to do when I grew up, but I had deviated from that path. And the work that I was doing in international development was more about programs and projects, and it was focused more on education and economic development than anything else. So I was trying to get into health, and a lot of those projects and programs in terms of aid and development involve not a lot of them. It's literally the work I was doing was 100% focused on physical health. So mental health, in many ways, I mean, it's not perceived in the same way as we perceive it here in America in this community in Kenya. There's still some kind of almost mystical beliefs associated with it. But I could tell that, like, sharing stories with one another and connecting authentically, I could see that that was at the corner, one of the cornerstones of Kayafungo. And in that sense, served the community's mental health greatly. And so one night, I was sitting in my home, in my mud home with a thatched roof, and I had just crawled into bed, and my bed was a mattress, kind of flattened out mattress on the floor in this, it almost looked like a little cave or a hole in the wall, but that was my room. And over the mattress, there was a tattered turquoise mosquito net that had so many holes in it. I remember lying there every night thinking, like, how is this actually protecting me from mosquitoes? But I also totally did not care at that point. I was so happy to be doing what I was doing. So I get into bed and I have my headlamp on and I'm opening, I think it's Joseph Conrad's Heart of Africa. Like, this is like the most cliche situation I could ever think of, of like the liberal, whatever, like, you know, wanderlusted 20-something-year-old seeking truth. But nonetheless, I crawl into bed and I hear my Mama T, call out, and she says, "My daughter, are you awake?" Very kind of broken English, but absolutely enough. I had some broken Swahili and Giriama, so we made it work. And I said, "Yes, I am. What's up? What's going on?" And she said, "I have to tell you something. When you are here with me, everything is okay." Which makes me tear up and cry to this day. But it made me in that moment really realize the power of connection, of being seen and heard, of two people who come from the most vastly different worlds, upbringings, still being able to fall in love, because I absolutely did. She is in my heart. Through, like, late nights of playing card games with this one tattered deck of cards I bought, to slaughtering my first chicken ever with her outside the house and cooking it, to just so many amazing, rich experiences. That one comment that she made really drove home to me the importance of knowing that someone is witnessing your life. I knew that she was a witness to mine just as much as I was a witness to hers. And I think maybe because there were so many seeming barriers or obstacles to us connecting, I think knowing that we were truly listening and hearing and seeing and being with each other was even more powerful. And that really is what I do for work now. I sit with people and I try to see them and hear them and understand them and be present with them. Because when we do something as simple as physically showing up, as sharing a room together, as I don't know, as seemingly simple as being present, then we're able to heal. Buddhist psychologists talk about, I heard once that a synonym for love, to love as a verb, is to pay attention. Because when we pay attention, we are present, and who we really are, our presence, is made up of stardust and light and love.
The problem is that we forget that. We forget that we are made of stardust and light and love. And it starts at a pretty young age, unfortunately. We get hurt or we experience something difficult and we begin to build walls and shields and we put on costumes and we play roles. And it's all of these defenses. It's kind of like snuggling into this cocoon, but it's completely counterproductive, the cocoon. It's an attempt to protect ourselves because our hearts get broken by life. And the problem is that we do it and it happens over time. And then before we know it, we wake up one day and we realize that we've wandered extremely far away from the place of love that we embodied at birth. So tools, concepts, ideas, techniques from Buddhism and yoga help us shed all of those layers, help us to remove all of that armor. It teaches us how to be brave and courageous and vulnerable in the world and to live truly from our hearts. And in doing so, to really come home to ourselves. For this moment right now, what I'd like to offer is a technique that actually can be used anywhere, anytime, and doesn't involve any formal sitting, like a formal seated meditation would. So similar to meditation, though, the idea is that we get carried away. We get carried away by our minds, by the stories in our heads, by our emotions. Some sort of limbic hijack might be happening. And this practice really is just this constant. It's a constant coming home to ourselves, meaning it's a constant dropping in. It's a dropping in to this moment right here and now, because this moment is your entire life. So if you are somewhere right now, not driving in a car or whatever, I encourage you to try this with me. But get a comfortable, you want to get into a comfortable seated position, in a chair, on a couch, on the floor, whatever. And just breathe, literally, just exhale, sigh, breathe in deeply, and then just let it all go, all the noise, all the chatter, all the fluctuations of the mind, as the Yoga Sutras say. And then just start to notice things without judgment, with a real kind of gentle curiosity. Notice sounds around you. Notice perhaps the temperature of the room you're in, or if you're sitting outside. Are there sounds, smells, sensations? Do you hear leaves rustling in the wind? The hum of electricity? The smell of homemade chocolate chip cookies? That would be pretty amazing if that were happening right now. That is a delicious smell. And this is it. I mean, this is presence. This is being here. It's as simple as moving from the world inside of your head to the world all around you as it exists. Thank you so much for downloading this free audio. And please keep an eye out for further videos, recordings, podcasts, episodes, all that jazz.